And so every 4 years, we are treated to the same tired, predictable routine. Two candidates, with few disagreements on fundamentals, pretend that they represent dramatically different philosophies of government. The supposedly conservative candidate tells us about waste in government and ticks off $10 million in frivolous pork barrel projects that outrage him, the inevitable Bridge to Nowhere project, or a study of the effects of celery consumption on arresting memory loss in order to elicit laughter and applause from partisan audiences. All right, so that's 0.00045% of the federal budget dealt with. What does he propose to do with the other 99.99955% in order to return our country to living within its means? Not a word. Those same three or four silly programs will be brought up all campaign long, and that's all we'll hear about where the candidate stands on spending. But conservatives are told that they must support these candidates, and so they do, hoping for the best, and nothing changes. Even war doesn't really distinguish the two parties from each other. Hillary Clinton and John Kerry voted for the Iraq War. With the exceptions of Dennis Kucinich and Mike Gravel, even the Democrats, who postured as anti-war candidates for the 2008 primary elections, are not especially opposed to needless wars. They typically have a laundry list of other military interventions they would support, none of which make any sense, would make our country any safer, or would do a thing to return our country to fiscal sanity. But liberals are told that they must support these candidates, and so they do, hoping for the best. And nothing changes. A substantial portion of the conservative movement has become a parody of its former self. Once home to distinguished intellectuals and men of letters, it now tolerates and even encourages anti-intellectualism and jingoism that would have embarrassed earlier generations of conservative thinkers. There are still some good and decent conservative leaders to be found, and a portion of the grassroots has remained uncorrupted by the transformation of conservatism into just another big government movement. But big government at home and abroad seems to suit many conservative spokesmen just fine. Once in a while, they will latch onto phony but conservative-sounding causes like tax reform, almost always a shell game in which taxes are shuffled around rather than actually reduced overall, in order to pacify the conservative base. But that's about it. When Republicans won a massive off-year election victory in 1994, neoconservative Bill Kristol immediately urged them not to do anything drastic, but to wait until the Republicans took the White House in 1996. Well, the Republicans didn't take the White House in 1996, so nothing ever got done. Instead, the Republican leadership urged these freshman congressmen to focus on a toothless, soporific agenda called the Contract with America that was boldly touted as a major overhaul of the federal government. Nothing could have been further from the truth. The Contract with America was typical of what I have just described. No fundamental questions are ever raised, and even supposedly radical and revolutionary measures turn out to be modest and the safe. In fact, the Brookings Institution in effect said if this is what conservatives consider revolutionary, then they have basically conceded defeat. Needless to say, I am also unimpressed by the liberal left. Although they posture as critical thinkers, their confidence in government is inexcusably naive, based as it is on civics textbook platitudes that bear absolutely zero resemblance to reality. Not even their position on unnecessary wars is consistent. Hillary Clinton and John Kerry both supported the Iraq War, for instance, and the major Democratic candidates in 2008 who claimed to be anti-war are generally eager to invade some other country apart from Iraq. Even Howard Dean was all in favor of Bill Clinton's intervention in Bosnia, going so far as to urge the president to take unilateral military action beyond the multilateral activity already taking place. Liberals at the grassroots, on the other hand, have been deeply alienated by the various betrayals by which a movement they once supported has made its peace with the establishment. No wonder frustrated Americans have begun referring to our two parties as the Republicrats. And no wonder the news networks would rather focus on $400 haircuts than matters of substance. There are no matters of substance.